Morning. How many of you know the story of Balaam? Raise your hands high. Well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, let's review the story very quickly. I paraphrase things. First of all, covers lots of mistakes if I make any. And second of all, it moves a lot quicker. So let's go through the story very quickly. Balak is the king of Moab, and the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. And through God's leading, they have defeated some of the nations that have attacked Israel. Moab's not a very strong nation. And so the king, believing in blessings and curses, comes up with what he thinks is a pretty good strategy. He says, I know there's a prophet of God over yonder that's named Balaam. And if I can entice Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel, it will put Moab in a nice position. Now Balaam says that he's a prophet of God. And he had to have a relationship with God. So Balak sends some people with some money, and he goes and he talks to Balaam and says, look, we're going to pay you if you come and curse the children of Israel. Now, two things go through Balaam's mind. Man, there's money involved. Certainly has to be a lot better than the last two multi-level deals I've done. And I have an opportunity to make some money. On the other hand, he's thinking, you know, I really ought to talk to God about this. And so Balaam says to the visitors, tell you what, let me think about this and spend the night with us. And let me contemplate. So God, he talks to God, and God says, don't think that's really a very good idea. And so Balaam gets up the next morning and says, no, can't do it. And they go back to the king. And the king says, man, we just didn't offer enough money. So he sends them back with a whole lot more money. And he comes to Balaam and Balaam says, well, man, to himself, that's a lot of money. And let me think it over. So spend the night with me. And the next morning he talks to God, and God does something that's kind of strange. He says, okay, go ahead and go. But I want to tell you one thing. Whatever words you utter over my children are going to be the words that I will speak through you. And Balaam says, paraphrasing, what I got to lose. So he takes off. And he's on his favorite donkey that he's had all of his life. And all of a sudden the donkey gets off to the side and gets off the road. Balaam's a little mad. Hits the donkey with his stick. Gets back on the donkey. The donkey goes through kind of a narrow place. It's so narrow that the donkey, when he sees the angel of the Lord for the second time, bounces Balaam up against a rock, hurts his ankle. Balaam gets off, really whacks the donkey, gets back on the donkey. They go through a narrow place. There's the angel. The donkey just plops down. Balaam gets up, whacks the donkey, and the donkey says to Balaam, I thought I was your favorite donkey. And why are you hitting me? And Balaam, wanting to converse with his donkey, says, you're holding me up to where I want to go. You can't make this up. And finally Balaam sees the angel of the Lord. And he says, well, I guess I have to go back home. But the angel of the Lord basically says, do whatever you want to do. So Balaam gets up And he goes to the king, and he gets up on, and he tells the king, "Now I'm here to curse, but I want you to understand that whatever words I say are going to be through God, and I'll have no control." So he takes him up to a mountain, and here's all the children of Israel. And Balaam gets up, and he starts to speak, and he gives a very nice blessing to the children of Israel. The king says, "Man, where did we go wrong? I've paid you to curse these guys." King does a little thinking, we'll come back to that. And he takes them to another mountain that's smaller, and he sees less of the children of Israel. And for the second time, he gives a very beautiful blessing. You ought to read it in Numbers. Very beautiful blessing for the children of Israel. The king is really mad, and so he takes him to a real small mountain. And there he tells not only what's going to happen to Moab, but what's going to happen to all the other nations around. And then he gives a fourth prophecy, saying, "I want you to understand one thing. Through these people that you don't like, that you hate, is going to be born the Messiah." And so Balaam, a failure, goes back home. Now, the Quarterly's author, very nice person, and I've looked at a couple of leading theologians of our church on this lesson, and they would like for us to discuss that the lesson is a perfect lesson, and I'm going to have trouble pronouncing the word, for the sin of covet. What? Right. And that's what we're supposed to get out of this lesson, is do not covet money because it's going to end up bad for you. Is that a true statement, by the way?
The love.
Well, if you covet, that's the love. Same deal. Is that the lesson of this story? Well, if it is, let's shut down Sabbath school, because I think everybody understands that, and let's just visit to 11:15. Because that's not what this story is about at all. The story is always about God. And I think this story gives us an insight of what the investigative judgment at the end of time is, what the panoramic view is at the end of time, and gives us a tremendous insight of why God, with tears in His eyes, has to let the wicked, those who are so much against Him, He can do nothing. He has to let them go. I see the story of Balaam as the story of my life, the story of maybe your life, but the story of what God's judgment is all about. So let's go back to the very beginning. Now, everybody knows that's been in this class over 3 months. I never like to pick on anybody. I never like to humiliate or put anybody on the spot. But Jeff Lindsay is so vulnerable, so easy, that I've just got to use him as the illustration. So, Jeff, not picking on you, but put your chair right here facing everybody.
Friendship.
Jeff is Balaam.
Thank you. Charles the donkey?
Well, at 3:15 this morning, I said I need a biblical ass, so heads Rob, tails Charles.
Donkey's tail.
But we're going to just stop with Balaam. All right, let's start all over from the beginning of this story. Balaam had a relationship with God and did take the name of prophet. So he stood for something. The king of Moab, knowing and hearing about how God had taken the children of Israel from out of Egypt, and how miraculously, how powerful He had led His children, understood that there was no way His poor little country, His poor little army, could stand up against God's people. And so he must have known something about the character of Balaam, because if Balaam was such an upstanding, righteous person, he would have never approached him. So he sends his guys with some money. And they said, now here's what we want you to do. We need you to come and curse God's people. Now, this is our modern day Balaam. So you're approached, and people say to you, we want to pay you some money to go curse God's people. What should be your first reaction?
No.
Okay.
God, you wouldn't do that.
Okay. But it wasn't. Did you know what God wanted you to do?
Pretty much if I'm in prayer.
Absolutely. But what was his first mistake? Huh? Let me ponder. So stay overnight while I ponder. Now, does that make sense?
Not for profit.
Pardon?
Not for profit of God. No, it doesn't.
Doesn't make sense. I go to Dr. Coy and I say, Dr. Coy, have somebody I really dislike, and I would like you to shoot them. We're a tough class in here. We're tough. How long are you going to ponder that?
Not at all. You said I pay
you. Yes.
Wouldn't be enough.
Obviously, the time was so that he could rationalize how he could, and I think that's where most of us, we know what's right. And it doesn't take any time to say, yes, it's right, or no, it's not. But when we take that time, then we can convince ourselves that maybe it's okay that we do that. And with enough money and enough time, Dr. Coy might get the
Dr. Coy. Yeah. So when our modern day Balaam here says, go stay all night, go down to the Arlington Hilton, get a room, come back and see me tomorrow morning, what is he saying? Not only am I open to the idea, I really would like to find a way to do it. So, let's use this one. You keep account of the red flags, okay? That's one. So he gets up the next morning, and God talked to him and said, not a very good idea, son. And so, our modern day Balaam, with what type of attitude sends him back to the king?
Disappointed.
You think they read that?
Yes.
Sure. So they go back to the king and they said, you know, he pondered it. He thought about it. I don't think we offered enough money. Which, by the way, kind of a true statement.
Yes.
Very true.
So here he comes back again and says, okay, you're not easily bought. Here's more money. And what do you do?
I ponder it.
Ponder. Go down there, same hotel, get another room. Get with me in the morning. Look up Mr. Reader, Psalms 82, verse 10 for me. So they come back the next day. Did God talk to Balaam that night? Son, I don't think that's a good idea. And you say, well, I really would like to do it. That's your cue.
No, I really would like to do it.
Very good. A little insincere, but that's okay. And God says something strange. He says, since you really want to do it, go do it. Why?
It's a God of free choice.
Pardon?
He is a God of free choice.
Okay.
And God was looking at his heart also.
Okay.
Even at that point.
My little 5-year-old great-grandson says, Grandpa, I want to go play in the street. After the fourth time, I don't say, have at it. But God did. Why?
Teachable moment.
Pardon?
Teachable moment.
God is not.
Who said teachable moment? Teachable moment. Very teachable.
God is not an arbitrary God.
Okay.
And I think he mandates oftentimes that does create rebellion in the heart.
Okay. Amen. Okay. Psalms 82, verse 10 to the end.
There is no 8
through
10.
It goes 1 to 8. So, I think it's 81 to 10.
He should have figured that out. Psalms 81, 10. Boy, just being by Balaam's a losing situation. Yeah, 81, excuse me. Thank you.
I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I told you to open your mouth wide and I would fill it. But you wouldn't listen. You didn't want to have anything to do with me. So I had to let you do your thing. I had to let you follow your own advice. Verse 13. If you had only listened to me, if you had only followed my counsel, I would have subdued your enemies as I had done before. I would have stood up against them and saved you. Yes, those who hated our God would have submitted themselves to him, and they would have left us alone.
All right, go back to the part where you wanted to do what you wanted to do. Read that again.
So I had to let you do your own thing. Verse 11. But you wouldn't listen. You didn't want to have anything to do with me. So I had to let you do your thing. I had to let you follow your own advice.
All right. Do you get how God works? Balaam wanted money. And finally, God had no other choice than to say, there's nothing left I can do. So go do what you're going to do. But I want to show you how he cares and still loves Balaam. And he says, but I want you to understand that when you get there to curse the children of Israel, I'm going to speak through you. Now, do you think, Mr. Balaam, that would get your attention?
Yes.
So what? How many red flag? Number 2. So you go get your favorite donkey. You get on your favorite donkey. You're riding towards Moab. And the donkey veers off the path because he sees an angel. You get mad. What does that tell him as he's beating the donkey? What does this tell him about? What does it tell you about your character?
I'm out of control.
Out of control. But after all, your favorite donkey. Then you go through a narrow little path. The donkey sees what could kill you. And he bashes your foot up against the wall and hurts it. And you get out and you whack him again. What does that say about you?
I'm not in my own right mind.
And then the third time, the donkey just stops and you're really wailing at him, and the donkey speaks to you. Would this get your attention?
Yes, it would.
And then I got to ask you a question. Does he have your attention when he says, "Mr. Modern Day Balaam, I'm your favorite donkey. We've been together for 14 years. Why are you doing this to me?" And you answering.
I'd have been going the other way pretty quick.
Number three. Then the angel appears and you see. And then you say, "Well, I think I've learned my lesson. I guess I better go home." Do you get the picture? "I think I've learned my lesson, but I guess I better go home." How sincere are you? What are you worried about? And the consequences of going forward, right?
I would say.
Now, here's how God works. Has this man learned anything?
No.
Zero. Zero. Because the proof's in the pudding. And God says, "If you want to go, go." How much have you learned? Because what's your next step?
Go.
You go. He's learned nothing. Zero. Why? Because he wants to do things his way. He wants what he wants. And how many red flags so far?
Four.
Now, he gets there and he tells the king, "I'm going to do this. But I'm telling you ahead of time, God's going to speak through me." Does he have enough faith? Does he have enough understanding of what's going to happen?
He's been told what's going to happen.
Huh?
He's been told what's going to happen.
Then he tells the king what's happening. So I got to ask a fair question. What the heck's wrong with you? So he gets up and he goes on the highest mountain in the area and he sees all of the children of Israel. Now remember, in our previous lessons, we had talked about how the children were numbered and everything was in order and how the sanctuary was in the midst. And as he stood up there with the king, even Balaam himself was amazed at the orderliness and how structured and how magnificent the children of Israel looked, because they were the children of God. And so Balaam gives him a nice little blessing. And he speaks not what's in his heart. He speaks what's in God's heart. Shouldn't he have learned something from that?
Should have learned something from that.
Now here's Balak's reasoning. Because, see, when you're on a different side than God, you always reason everything except what the obvious is. So he says, "Man, have I made a mistake? I've showed this idiotic prophet all of Israel's might, and he's overwhelmed by it. And so he's scared." So he takes him to a second mountain that's smaller, and he can see very little of the children of Israel. And he says, now he won't be overwhelmed, so curse this little group. And so you open your mouth, and out comes a more beautiful blessing than the first one. Should you have learned something?
I would think so.
Six.
And the king... Now, let's look at Balak. What do you think's going on in his mind?
I've been ripped off.
So he takes him to the small mountain, very little of the children of Israel, and Balaam gets up to curse, and through him comes God's warning that not only Moab would meet with defeat, but so would the other nations around. Think you should have learned something?
7.
And then I want you to get this picture. This is how God works after 7 warnings that we would say any person in their right mind would get the picture. Is He reveals to Balaam the birth of the Messiah and how He would bring deliverance to God's people. And Balaam prophesies that through this people out here in this desert, the Messiah would be born through that lineage. If God came along in your life, modern day Balaam, and showed you His love and character and how His Son would be born and how you could spend eternity with Him, would that get your attention?
I believe it would.
Right. What else could God do?
Ruth was a Moabitess, and she was in the lineage of Christ. They must not have killed all the Moabites.
No, didn't say they killed them all. Conquered them.
They just conquered them. Yeah, they couldn't kill much.
What else could God do? How many?
8.
What else could God do? Balaam went home. And he got thinking of a plan that would bring God's people down, and it worked. And he went back to the king. This guy right here. And said, "You know, if you want to bring them down, here's how to do it. Intermingle and introduce idolatry to them." And that's exactly what happened to God's chosen people before they ever crossed the Jordan River. Was they began to come in and intermingle. And one of God's children would go to a good-looking young Moabite woman and say, "Hey, beautiful, like to go out with you Monday night." And she'd say, "By the way, when you come by and pick me up, before we do that, would you mind if we went over here? I've got to offer a little offering to one of our gods. Would you mind doing that with me?" This is the way God's judgment works. I am convinced that Balaam is a story of God's judgment. I ask the question again. What else could God do to save the soul of Balaam? Can anybody name me one more thing? What was Balaam's biggest mistake? Was it being a Was that his problem? Is that what we need to dwell on? Is, man, whatever we do, don't covet? What was his mistake?
He kept compromising the truth that he knew. And when you open that door of doubt, you start to believe.
And what's that a symptom of?
Self. selfishness, self-exaltation.
What's that a symptom of?
He didn't have a relationship with God, even though he was a prophet.
That's exactly right. You can work all day and all night and all week in church work and never have a relationship with God.
Amen.
The symptom of Balaam was not that he wanted more money. Certainly was not good. Not that he wanted more power. Certainly not good. The symptom was, the only symptom that matters was, did he have a relationship with God or not? And obviously, he had a convenient relationship with God as long as God agreed with him on what this guy wanted to do. Then him and God got along just fine. When God came along and interfered with what he wanted to do, then his character came out. I want to show you the beauty of God. Every step of the way was an appeal to Balaam. Can't you see where you're at and who I am and what the problem is? And my, did he work with him. Even to the point of having a dumb donkey talk to him. But let me tell you, when you're separated from God, I don't care if God comes down, puts his hand on your shoulder, and says, "My son, you're going down the wrong road." If you are bent on doing what you're going to do, you're going to say, "I understand, but I'm going anyway." And here's the kindness of God. He then says, "My, what a price you're going to pay. But I'll be with you. But what a price you're going to pay." And he appealed to Balaam over and over and over and over. Can't you see who I am? Now, I've got to ask you a fair question. In your decision to do what you've done, do you yourself think of anything that God could have done more to get your attention and say, "My son, you're on the wrong road"?
Not without forcing.
And he will not do that.
He will not do that.
And at the end of time, Mr. Modern Day Balaam, in the great panoramic view, you're going to see your story played out. And what conclusion are you going to come to then?
I had all the evidence in the world, and I still made the wrong decision.
And who's just?
God.
And who's merciful?
God.
And who did everything for you?
God.
And is it going to change you at that time?
I might want to change at that time, but...
It won't.
No.
Because what's your next word's going to be?
"What a wretched person I am."
Let's go kill those people in that holy city. This is the judgment. Because God's going to come along with a group of people who have chosen not to be with Him. You do not go down the path of sin just kind of meandering around and end up on it. You make a decision to separate yourself from God. And at the end, as I've said to the class, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to continue to say it. For years I wondered, why in the world would God raise the wicked dead again after the investigative judgment and have a panoramic view and then have them go off for eternity? Why would He do that? And then I think the answer became clear to me. as they were raised and as they look, as they see the great panoramic view, as Balaam himself sees his life story from the beginning to the end, he himself, in the book of Revelation, will say that God is true, that God is just, and that God is merciful, and will fall on his knees and give praise to God. But it doesn't change them one iota. And after saying that, their next words are, let's go to the city and let's kill those people. Where are you in your spiritual journey? Have any of you had a Balaam experience? Have any of you gone down the road and God has come to you and said to you in different ways, what are you doing? How come our relationship isn't what it used to be? Where have you been? I know where you've been. I've been with you. But when are you going to understand you need to change? When that donkey said, I'm saving your life by sitting here and not going any further, you think that Balaam would have fell to his knees with true repentance and said, oh my, what have I done? How can I do this to you, God? What was I thinking? It didn't change his thinking at all. Because God had to send him down that road, because every step of the way, every red flag was an appeal to see, why don't you see what's going on in your life? And God does not like to do that. But he loves you enough. He cares for you enough. That as sometimes as we get older children, we have to sit back and just say, it breaks my heart, but they're not going to learn any other way. Go down that path, child. Because it's the only way you'll learn. And oh, how sad that is. But that's God. Comments? Yes. Oh, you're going to defend yourself?
It's still a mystery to me, the mystery of iniquity, how even yes. Satan in perfection could have fallen. Yes. How all the evidence, seeing miracles, and how stubborn. It's amazing. That's all I can say. The mystery of iniquity.
Doesn't make sense. No. See, a great author once said, to understand sin is to excuse it. If we could understand it, then there's an excuse. There is no understanding. It does not make sense. And that's why the Bible, I'll come to, who raised their hand? Oh, I'll come to you in just a second. See, that's where I started out the lesson. The lesson authors, meaning quite well, nothing wrong with it, said that the high point of this lesson is to not covet. Oh my. That's not the lesson. The lesson is God. That God would take an idiot. Someone that could not even by his own admission understand and say what he was doing and have an understanding, that he would run red flag after red flag after red flag, begging, pleading for him. Never forgetting. And his last reward to God, who never forgot him, was he came in with a successful plan how to undermine the children of Israel with idolatry. But God, we could have said, well, boy, God certainly did an injustice. But God never does an injustice, because God is interested in his soul. And he did everything in his power. Now, if you're the descendants of Balaam, and you're sitting there for 1,000 years in heaven, and you're reviewing his life, and you see the panoramic view, and you see Balaam stand up and say, "Let's go kill those people," would you have any doubt that God did everything he possibly could? And that's the way God is. Dr. Coyle.
In so many of the stories in the Bible, we look at what took place, but often we forget a very important part, and that is that God's will is always done. In this case, was God able to bless the children of Israel?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. Regardless of what Balaam did, God's plan blessed the children of Israel, just like he's telling us. Regardless of what takes place, folks.
Yes. And by the way,
blessing will be there.
What was God's reward for blessing the children of Israel? Idolatry.
It just reinforces that the enemy is really within us.
Oh, that's my last statement, so I'll thank you for bringing it up, because now you've given me a wedge, I can say what I want to say. As a denomination, we have long looked for the outside force that is going to bring us all kinds of problems. Am I correct? We've identified powers, Russia, England at one time, and Europe, a certain church is going to be. Now we're beginning to wonder, well, could this great Muslim be outside terror? The outside terror never will strike God's people. Balak tried. How did he succeed? Inside the camp. That's the fear we have. Inside. For you see, if we never understand the beauty of the character of God, if we never understand how much He loves and He cares for us individually, and if we never understand that the only message we have, I believe as a Seventh-day Adventist, is how much God cares, how much He loves, and how much He wants you to spend eternity, and He's done everything for you to show that relationship. If we don't get that message across, then the other beautiful things that He has given us will not matter. Ask Balaam the prophet. Father in heaven, thankful for this story. As a little child on the flannel graph board, I learned, man, go the wrong way, there's going to be a donkey talking to you and an angel right in front of you. As I grew older, I saw the real life.